And now, Don Blackwell.
Friends, one of the most powerful tools of the devil is to disguise evil as good. I mean, just think about it for a minute. If Satan can get men to look at something sinful, something that is evil, something that's harmful and destructive, and to think that it's good, just imagine how easy his job is going to be. You remember in the very beginning of the Bible, the Lord told man, "Do not eat of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." But the devil came along and said, "You will not surely die." In fact, he said just the opposite is true. He said this fruit is desirable to make you wise. Friends, you see, if Satan can make men think that evil is not all that bad, or better yet, that evil is actually a good thing, all his work becomes very easy. I want you to think about this. If men are convinced that abortion is a choice rather than a murder, think how much easier it becomes to do it. If men are convinced that homosexuality is an alternative lifestyle rather than sexual perversion, then it becomes less repulsive. If men are convinced that one church is just as good as another, then they'll stop looking for the truth. The title of the lesson today is, "Wrong is Always Wrong." It doesn't matter what lie Satan may try to tell us. It doesn't matter whether we're able to convince ourselves otherwise. It doesn't matter how many friends and co-workers may tell us differently. Wrong is always wrong. And friends, we need to always do right, no matter what the circumstances may be. One man made an interesting quote along these lines. He said, "Always do right. That will please most people and amaze the rest." Wrong is always wrong. I want us to notice several points in the lesson today. First, I want us to notice that wrong is always wrong, number one, even if no one sees it, even if no one else knows it. You know, some people seemingly measure the rightness or wrongness of an activity on whether or not anyone knows about it, whether or not anyone else sees me do it. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to realize that wrong is wrong, even if no other human being alive knows about it. In the book of Joshua, chapter 7, the Bible tells us about one of the children of Israel by the name of Achan. Achan had committed a sin that none of his countrymen knew about. When Israel went up to battle the city of Jericho, the Lord told them not to take of the spoils. But the Bible says, Achan said, "I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels, and I took them." But he kept it a secret. He didn't want to let other people know about this. But you know, even though other individuals did not know it, the Lord knew it. And the Bible says the anger of the Lord was kindled. The next time that Israel went up to do battle against the men of Ai, they lost. You see, the men of Ai chased them away in fear and killed some of them. Now, why did that happen? I mean, no one knew about the sin, right? Wrong. The Lord saw it. The Lord was aware of the sin he committed. Friends, you see, our problem is that sometimes we want to judge right and wrong by what other people see. But that's not the right standard. Sometimes people on television, we will see before they do something that's wrong, what do? They look to the right and they look to the left to be sure that nobody is watching. But the problem is, they never look upward. They never consider that the Lord is watching. A few years ago, I had a man talk to me about some illegal hunting that he was doing. And I said to him, "Isn't that illegal?" He said, "Oh, it's okay because the authorities never come this direction." Friends, that's not the standard. We don't do right just because we might be caught. Wrong is always wrong, even if no one sees me. Even if not a single living soul knows about it, and even if I don't get caught. You know, Joseph had the right idea. Joseph said, "I can't do this wrong and sin against God." And even when no one else is around to see what I'm doing, the Bible still says in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding evil and good." Proverbs 5 and 21 says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he considers all of his goings." Friends, Wrong is always wrong, even if no man sees it. Number two, consider with me this. Wrong is always wrong, even if it's commonly considered acceptable. Even if most people that you know engage in it. I'm afraid that all too often we have let that become our standard. If everyone else does it, then we consider that it's not really a big deal, that it must be one of those acceptable sins. You know, there may come a day where homosexuality is commonly accepted, but that doesn't make it right. Filth on television, sexual humor, and adultery are commonly accepted in many societies today, but that doesn't make them right. Even if everyone else that I know commits this sin and does this wrong deed, that doesn't make it right. What if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had used this type of philosophy? In Daniel chapter 3, we read about these three young Hebrew men. The king of the land had commanded that everyone had to bow down at certain times when they heard the music. They had to bow down and worship a golden idol. What if they had looked around and they saw everyone else bowing down and they thought to themselves, well, everybody's doing it. And so they engaged in it. Would that make it right? What if Noah had thought this way? What if Noah had said, everyone else is engaging in sin. No one else is building an ark, and so I'm not going to do it. What would have happened to Noah? Well, he would have drowned. What if we think that way today? What if I think I'm going to dress a certain way because everyone does it? I'm going to talk a certain way because everyone does it. I'm going to engage in a certain sinful entertainment because everyone does it. Friends, the Bible says, you shall not follow a multitude to do evil. Exodus 23 and verse 2. And consider those sins that we think of as little sins. Sometimes people think of lying as a little sin. They think everyone does it. Everyone lies. But friends, the Bible still says that God hates a lying tongue. Proverbs chapter 6. The Bible still says that liars will be lost in hell eternally. Revelation 21 and verse 8. So what if everyone is doing it? So what if it's a commonly accepted sin? The Bible tells us, you shall not follow a multitude to do evil. And Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 tell us that the majority is usually wrong. Jesus says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. But what does he say about the way that leads to destruction? He tells us it is a broad way. Many there be that go in thereat. You see, he is telling us the majority of people are wrong in their thinking and their morality. Now, someone may say, yes, but it's such a little thing and it doesn't hurt anyone. And besides that, everyone else is engaging in it. You know, this makes me think about another passage. I know the context is a little bit different, but the Lord said, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Luke chapter 16 and verse 10. Friends, wrong is always wrong, even if it's commonly considered acceptable. Number three, consider with me that wrong is always wrong, even if you do it for a good cause. You know, this may be one of the hardest points to convince people of. I mean, if someone thinks if it's done for a good purpose, how can it possibly be wrong? But you know, an honorable purpose doesn't justify a dishonorable deed. From time to time, I have known members of the church who would not attend the worship of the Lord's church because they would be attending an activity with a friend. And they would reason like this. They would say, well, maybe if I go with them, then maybe I can persuade them to come with me to church next time. And then maybe I can win them over and convert them to Christ. Their motives are good. But friends, wrong is still wrong, even if we do it for a good cause. You know, there's a great example of this from the Bible. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, God had told King Saul to utterly, absolutely destroy the Amalekites. But if you remember your Bible, you'll remember that he did not do this. The people did not do it. They spared some of the sheep and some of the oxen, and they kept them. Now, it's very interesting the reason that Saul said that they kept these, that they did not utterly destroy it all as God commanded them. When the prophet Samuel questioned King Saul about it, Saul said, Samuel asked him, why didn't you do what the Lord told you to do and destroy everything? Listen to Saul's response in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 15. He said, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord, and the rest we have completely destroyed. Now Samuel's response is in verse 10. The prophet Samuel says to him, Saul, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Do you see what he's saying? He is saying that wrong is always wrong, even if it's done for a good purpose. He said it's better to obey the Lord. Do what God tells you to do. Number 4, consider with me that the Bible teaches that wrong is always wrong, even if other people may be doing worse. Sometimes we measure ourselves by other people. I mean, there are people in the world who may be doing things much worse than what I'm doing. And so sometimes we think, I'm a pretty good person. I'm not unfaithful to my wife. I'm not abusive and violent. I'm not a drunkard. My sins are very little in nature compared to these things that other people do. I watch the news and I see people commit grievous sins, and I'm not like that. And so I think well of myself. But friends, we need to realize that wrong is still wrong, even if others are doing much worse. What comfort will there be at the judgment if you should be lost knowing that there are others who were worse than you? I look at passages in the Bible such as Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. The Bible there lists a group of people who will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. In other words, it's a list of people who will be in hell eternally. They will be punished for all eternity. The Bible says, and I want you to listen to the group, and I want you to think about each people. The Bible says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 21 and 8. Now, you know, when I first look at this list, I think surely the liar is not in the same category as the murderer. That doesn't seem to add up to me. But you see, the point is this. Sin will cause you to be lost, even if people are doing worse. The murderer and the liar are both lost eternally. You see, the problem with our thinking is that we try to compare ourselves to other people. And that's the wrong standard. I need to be comparing myself not to the individual on the news, not to the person who's committed to murder, not even to a Christian. You see, those men are not my standard. My standard is the Lord. The Apostle Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Friends, wrong is always wrong, even if there are others doing worse. Number 5, wrong is always wrong, even if it does not bother my conscience. You know, there's a song that says, always let your conscience be your guide. But you know, that's not really good advice, because a man's conscience can be mistrained. A man's conscience can be fooled. A man's conscience can be hardened to the point that it's really not effective to him at all. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2 talks about those who have had their conscience seared with a hot iron. Basically, their conscience has been deadened. You know, the Apostle Paul said that while he was out persecuting Christians, he said he lived in good conscience, Acts 23 and verse 1. His conscience thought everything was okay, even while he was fighting against the Lord himself. His conscience was fine, but he was still in sin. He was still wrong. Friends, wrong is always wrong, even if it does not bother your conscience. Number 6, notice with me that wrong is always wrong, even when doing right is not advantageous. Listen to that again. Wrong is always wrong, even when doing right is not advantageous. You know, in Luke chapter 18, a rich man came to Jesus and asked him the question. He said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him to keep the old law. You see, this man lived under the Old Testament law. And the man said, Lord, I've done that. Then the Lord said to him, Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor and follow me. The Bible says about this rich man that he went away sorrowful because he had much possessions. He was a very rich man and he did not want to give it up. You know, I've oftentimes thought about this story and I thought, what a request. That's quite a request the Lord made of him. But you know what? It's the same one that we must all obey. We must all be willing to give up everything to follow the Lord. And sometimes following the Lord, sometimes doing right, is not financially advantageous to me. Sometimes it may cost me money. Sometimes it may cost me advances. Sometimes it may cost me friends. Sometimes doing right may cause me not to be accepted among my coworkers. Doing right is not always advantageous in this life. Friends, wrong is always wrong, even when it's not advantageous. Friends, how have you been living your life today? Have you been excusing sin? Have you been overlooking evil? We need to remember the Bible teaches that the wages of sin is death, and that wrong is always wrong, even if no one sees it, even if it's commonly accepted, even if I do it for a good cause, I think, even if others are doing worse, even if it doesn't bother my conscience, and even when it's not advantageous.